So this is a great session. We're going to back it up and start back up at the beginning. We've gone through AI, we've gone through a little bit of global workflows, but we're really going to dig deep into smart production. Critical piece, it's the genesis of the data train. I just made that up, sorry. And here to actually do the introduction, we flip-flopped it in the program. Nancy's joining us on the panel, here to enlighten us, and somebody that's really beat the smart content drum for me regularly. He's the Chief Technology Officer for MarkLogic. Mr. Matt Turner, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. Hi, thanks. I was going to stand in front of you.
Oh, sorry.
So we're doing this like a benefit. So he just introduced me, and then I'm going to introduce him, and then he's going to introduce the panel, and then eventually you guys will get some content, so we're all good. But no, as Guy said, I'm the CTO for Media and Entertainment at MarkLogic, and we are just so thrilled to continue to be a great part of this smart content movement. And I mean it like a movement, because we were there at the very beginning. We're going back to 2014, talking about this idea that Guy had for all of the data around the content, and how that was going to impact every single part of the supply chain, which was a really ambitious statement at that time. It was also a convenient way for Guy to stay out of legal trouble with the NCAA. A little morph over from metadata madness to smart content, so it was brilliant. It also led to the part where we talked about, is this about revenge of the librarians? Where Guy and Guy on the phone call decided that, is that where the librarian takes off her glasses? And we said, no, that wasn't what we were talking about. But it was great to get started. And so at MarkLogic, we work across a whole bunch of different industries. We're a database company, we make database software. It's widely applicable. And I actually always talk about this community when we talk to other people, because this is a community that identified the value of the data at an executive level, so there's action behind it. But more importantly, this is a community that comes together in these forums to talk with each other, with your competitors, to talk with each other about what they're doing with the data, the processes, the projects, the successes, the challenges. And I think that's just such a great thing to see. And what it really is allowing you to do is get back to what's important, making really great content and getting that content out to all of your fans and customers. And for us, coming back to the smart content, it's really been an important thing, and it's been great for us because we've been involved with it from the start. We were involved with some of the early distribution systems, work we did at Warner Brothers, some of the work that we've done at Disney, managing, bringing together the metadata, and then also in the experiences. We had a chance to create a great experience app that used all the data for the NBC Saturday Night Live app for the anniversary. It's still running. And those projects, and that we featured some of that in previous ones, and those projects really show the value of the data, but more and more, that data is being created upstream. It's being created in digital format in production. And that's what we're going to talk about today, because as database people, we always want to go after the best source of the data. The most complete view of the data, the original data, it just gives you the most options for agility when you reuse it. But there are a lot of challenges in putting that data together. So we've assembled for you guys here a panel of really pioneers, people who are helping to explore bringing that data from production, managing it, integrating it, making it actionable. And so, as I said at the beginning, it's my pleasure to introduce Guy, which is an unusual thing for me to do at Guy's event. So I never passed up an opportunity to actually introduce Guy. So introduce Guy Finley, who is going to and kick off the smart production panel. So thanks.
Thank you. So I'm Guy Finley. I'm a Cancer. I like long walks on the beach. And no, I'm sorry. You know about me. Okay. Let's actually just jump right into this. I'm going to start by asking you all to introduce yourselves, tell you a little bit about what you do, the company that you work for, and then we'll just kind of dig in into the session. Nancy?
Nancy Silver, and I lead Media and Entertainment Solutions. I'm a solutions architect for MarkLogic. As Matt said, MarkLogic, proud sponsor of the Smart Content Summit. But we also are the next generation database, and we help companies integrate their data silos.
Hey, everybody. My name is Jukka Painen. I'm a regional technology innovation lead for a company called Avanade. I know it's a lot of big letters, but really my job is help customers find the best ways to solve their challenges and usually on the more innovative edge. Avanade is a system integrator who's actually desiring to become the leading digital innovator, which again, it's a lot of big letters, but shows that we actually put our money and our mind behind innovation in addition to building systems.
Hi, I'm Lulu Zaitza, and I'm a physical production person. I make movies. And I've been working for the past few years on solving how to first just capture all the information created by our filmmakers, whether it's designs or contracts or the actual media. And then I've moved into how to not only capture the documents and the media, but now how do we capture the metadata and how do we capture it in a smart way so that the author is the person capturing it and then we share it down the pipeline so it stays smart, and trying to create a single workflow.
I'm Elliot Sokratov. I'm the technology strategist for media and entertainment for Microsoft. I spent the past 20 years or so working throughout the industry, worked 13 years at NBCU, worked at Reveille, then Shine, then 21CF, and then left right before it became Endemol, and then left there and went to Funny or Die. Number of mostly technology roles, but my role here at Microsoft is to kind of help customers get from where they are today with their on-premises, with their data, to the cloud using technology to move them forward.
Awesome, and I'm going to tell my joke because I tell it to everyone. It's Hollywood, where you don't lose your job, you just lose your turn. All right, so we're talking about data in production, and Lulu, you are very modest about the work that you've been doing over the last, I would say, 6, 12, 18 months, depending upon which way you look at it. But I would like for you to talk a little bit about the tool, and also for the rest of the panelists, let's have a discussion about what does data really mean and do in production?
Right. Well, a year and a half ago, I was in Germany, and the Safe Harbor Treaty was thrown out. And that had to do with protecting individuals' personal identifying information and sharing it across the oceans of the United States. And at that moment in time, we had 1,800 EU employees, and their information was flying back and forth between the United States and Europe willy-nilly for payroll and all other reasons. And suddenly, how we managed information was not only a practical, how do we just keep it in our control, but suddenly it was like, wow, there are regulations involved, and it's much bigger than that, not to mention it is also our IP and our chain of title. And this all sort of became very clear for us. I was at New Regency. And so I came back to the United States and I started meeting with people and in fact everyone on this panel. And we put together a proof of concept where we built a unified platform in order to provide a secure single sign-on environment that connected all of the tools that the filmmakers like to use. We polled the filmmakers to find out what tools they would want involved in the platform. And then with Avanade's help and Mark Logic's help, we captured the metadata as from each of the tools that people use, from a contract management system to sync on set, the physical asset manager, to Fifth Kind, the dailies media manager, Avid, and pulled all this information together through the workflow, and actually were able to generate, we used two contract models. One was an actor's agreement, the other was a product placement agreement, track that information through the entire process, and we're able to generate from the final cut of the movie who should be in the final cast list and therefore owed residuals, and what products had we met our product placement obligations and therefore they owed us money. And so it followed from the development all the way through the end of production and actually generated financial reports.
We have a slide that illustrates that, right? I mean, would it be a good time to put that slide up? Garrett, do you have that slide?
Is an example kind of how it currently looks. I'm sure all of you are really familiar with this model where all of these systems are not talking together. There's, silos of data. And so we implemented a data hub solution for film and TV. And this is a great example of the workflow that Lulu was just talking about. This is hosted in the cloud with Microsoft Azure. and Mark Logic's the data hub between all of these typical production systems that you're currently using. And this helps enable, one of the great things about implementing a data hub is it serves as a foundation for so many different use cases. And this particular case, it was for automating residuals management and product placement, but it also serves as a foundation for best practices for data governance. We have folks who use for title databases, for example. Also, another great example is for that 360 data visualization. In addition to residuals, you can do multiple data visualization in different products you can use. For our solution, we use Power BI for the automated reporting, but you can use a variety of different flavors of analytics and reporting software.
So, why have we tackled this before? I mean, you know, it's interesting because I think a lot of people also are familiar with the ETC's work around Project Luna and the suitcase. But we've been talking smart content for 4+ years. We've been talking big data for 6+. What makes it so hard to crack?
So, at least from my perspective, one of the things is, you know, a couple of years back, these systems didn't always truly exist, or data was in Excel files, like we were talking earlier today. So now we're starting to get more and more systems that start collecting the initial data. And another big shift is, I would say 2-3 years ago, a more flexible technology for actually integrating and managing this data wasn't available or wasn't quite mature enough. And, you know, going back to some of the conversation from earlier today, you know, four years ago, we wanted to put everything into a cell. We needed to know the exact data model. And, you know, reality, when you built a solution like that, it was broken the next week or maybe 2 weeks from then. And now with the advent of more flexible databases and more flexible integration solutions, all of a sudden, you know, the data is starting to be available and we are starting to have the tools to actually manage it. And at the same time, I would also like to add from the industry perspective that people are starting to understand the value of this. Like, you know, I've heard multiple people mention how 4 years ago we're chuckling at the notion of metadata and they were the geeks or the weird guys. And Guy, I am looking at you.
Yeah.
and you know, now it's becoming more apparent to the management that there is more value to this than just understanding my synopsis, if you will. There's a lot of things. Actually, a lot of companies, not just New Regency, but a lot of the other studios that we're working with, spend enormous amounts of money recreating the metadata, whether it's for residuals or whether it's for understanding what's in their back catalog, whether it's for finding a specific scene in a TV series that ran for 15 years. I'm not going to mention names. But there's a lot of different ways you can use the data, and the value is becoming more apparent.
And I would say that there's also the ubiquity of platforms to be able to allow you to do that. So now you have the cloud platforms, you have machine learning, you've got computer vision that give you the ability to create this metadata, and couple that with the way the industry's moving towards the understanding that this metadata lets you personalize the content to deliver the content in a manner that which makes the most amount of sense to the end viewer or the end user.
But I also think part of it is that for a number of years, the focus was on solving lots of different, very finite problems. And we've come up with some great solutions to solve the legal department's issues and the accounting department's issues and the creative department's issues and all of these different solutions. And they're quite awesome. But everyone was solving they were working in a very finite space. And now the issue of rekeying information, of information not being the same in two different silos, the idea of silos, we didn't even know they really existed 3 years ago. At least not certainly on the physical production side, because we've always worked in our department and that's been fine. I think now we're starting to realize the value and the time involved in everything and being able to unite them and being able to unite these great tools is now on the horizon, whereas it wasn't before.
You know, the use case around the Revenant was such a great example. Are people familiar with the Revenant use case? That because there's been a couple of times, it doesn't look like anybody's raising their hands. They're all looking bewildered. So will you frame that up just real quickly in a minute?
So the reason we chose as one of the contract forms, the actor daily, just not the movie star actor, but the day player actor. One of the things that we do at the end of every movie is we screen them to determine which actors actually ended up in the film.
And the star is not a problem. It's the bit player, the extra who got upgraded, et cetera. And just because an actor has been paid does not mean they're in the final cut of the film and get residuals and everything else, that, or screen credit, et cetera. And we used to screen movies over and over. Well, in The Revenant, we did our best. We did the usual. We screened the movie. We came up with the actor list. And as soon as the movie came out, a whole bunch of people came out of the woodwork and said, hey, I was in the movie, and I'm not in the credits. And they know if they're not in the credits, that means they're not getting a residual check either. And we had to go back and look and look and look, and the makeup was so extreme. We couldn't identify these people. And none of them were professionals, so it wasn't like they had a... anyway, so the simple solution was we just said okay and added them all to the... We didn't redo the screen credits, but we added them all to our actor list. That type of thing happens all the time. And the same happens with product placements. I mean, arguing about, and having to screen the movie. By being able to capture that metadata instead on the day of and have every performer in a take recorded, so that then we just take the edit list at the end of the locked picture, and if whoever appears in the metadata for every take that's used in the movie, boom, you're done.
And there's no question, and because no it's question. Like, sorry, here's the data trail. And it's like when you complain about
and
something.
And also, the day after you've shot something is the day you still have the people around. You can actually ask the question. A year and a half later, it's very hard to find anybody you can remember.
So that's great. And, that use case is extreme, obviously, because of the cold environment and the makeup and the hell that they went through to make that movie. Good Lord. But what's happening on set today? I mean, that's a good question, right? Is this even on people's radars? I mean, we just got through Digital Star Package and all that business, right? We were lugging pieces of paper and waiting for wet ink on a fax in Helsinki to start this production, which I thought that was ludicrous, and this was just a few years ago. What's happening on set? I mean, Elliot, you want to jump in on that?
Yeah, on set is an interesting question. There's a lot of use cases around local, local editorial and trying to figure out how you can capture this metadata there. So, I think about it as I try to figure out like how we can help these systems along is maybe during makeup tests we start to take those photographs, use those as a machine learning model that we then put against our cognitive services. So we're now, as we're screening the final version of the film or the international or the special one that's going on the flight or whatever it is, we can actually use that camera test so we have the full three-quarter. The one-quarter we can run cog services against it, use computer vision to know that person's actually in the film. And determine whether or not what happens on the downflow.
Well, and I was also speaking right. The sets become more complex, right? They've always been a little bit of lightning in the bottle, and it's dependent upon the producer and the director and the tone of the set and open, close, et cetera. Where are you shooting? But it seems as though with all of these technologies, it's getting more and more complex. For creatives, maybe not the best thing in the world. Complexity, from an evolution perspective? I mean,
yes, I think there's some complexity. I do think a lot of the tools that we're creating now are helping the people on set. Certainly helping them deliver the information from set to the production office and to editorial more directly. And, there used to be hours of after-wrap paperwork done that now is done digitally on the set. But again, a lot of that is siloed and delivered only from A to B. And again, it was solving that one problem. So what we were trying to do is say, okay, well, we've got that great information recorded on set from camera, from continuity, from the different departments. Why aren't we using that again rather than re-entering it?
And it's,
sorry. There's such an incredible need to create relationships between these data silos. So all this great new technology is coming out, but each system has their own data source. So we're seeing a great adoption towards a semantic data modeling approach in which you can create those relationships between the data, and that's what we did with this project.
And it's not just the physical production and the production side. It's definitely also post-production and digital props, which are getting more and more prevalent. And you're just thinking from the actual production perspective, you know, we all fill forms. Or anybody here in the room who doesn't fill forms as part of their job? Yeah. So would you prefer getting a form which is maybe 70% pre-filled for you with the basic information, and you only change the stuff that you have to and then add what you can? Or would you prefer to start from scratch? And that's also what we're delivering. So it should help the people on the ground.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, one of the things, like, in order to try and create better continuity is if we're adding actor names in one place, feeding that list of actor names into the future places like the sync on set that's managing their costumes and their makeup, et cetera, like into Fifth Kind so we can do facial recognition and flag them in all the takes. By being able to have it fed in as drop-down lists so people know that, you know, instead of ending up with 12 different versions of the same actor because every system has spelled it differently, used the nickname, used the pseudonym, used whatever, you actually have one set of information moving through the system. We did have to think through a couple times where the workflow doesn't happen in the order it's meant to, which we're in film production, so the exception is more normally the rule, but I think we actually came up with some nice solutions for that as well.
It was really important. You pointed out, you know, kind of as a business architect, the need to, once we create and have that data hub, then we need to be able to have a mechanism, you know, using NoSQL to go back and update those other systems, right, like Sync on Set, right, so that, you know, everything is, you know, again, implementing that kind of best practice of data governance.
Mm-hmm. Right, so everybody's taking the clean cream of the crop data and not either creating it or
the idea being that the person entering the data the first time, the person who's just contracted the actor, the person who's just dressed the actor and chosen what specific wardrobe is going on them, the script supervisor on the set taking notes about what a take covers, et cetera, these people are the ones who are on the spot, and they know, and their information is far more accurate than someone down the line trying to interpret what's there, what happened, and you know, rewriting the same thing, but not from having been there at the source, but from interpreting, and that's less likely to be accurate.
And I think you're crafting a system also that also takes the best pieces of what companies do and have to offer.
Right.
Right? It's not necessarily an all-in, and, you know, we built it from scratch, and, you know, we worked with a few of our key partners, but this seems to be an approach that is a little, it's a microservices approach, right? You know, right? If you really want to take it into Silicon Valley lingo, uh-huh, right? These are little tiny pieces that all form something big, and it's not as brutal if a piece breaks. Because you're not replacing 90 to 100% of it, you're replacing...
Or change.
Yeah, or change, right? I mean, and it also empowers the vendor to do the best of the best. And we're gonna have another talk about this coming up. The Disney folks are going to do this. So I think it all dovetails into it. I guess the question is what's the overall... What do you feel would be the overall impact in terms of implementing something like this? Is this a... And I'm just throwing it out there. I don't want to put words in your mouth. It's a time saver. Is it a money saver? Is it an annoyance? But at the same time, like filling out forms in the information age, is it going to be better?
I hope the end game is that we make the workflow easier for the crew. They're working under the gun. They don't like new things. That's part of the reason for trying to design a system where they can use the tools that they're familiar with. We've just pulled those tools into an ecosystem. And hopefully we're eliminating rekeying, so we're actually saving them time. What I hope is that the end result is the deliverable that we're creating when the film is completed. We're actually
going to be able to deliver movies with all of the smart metadata already created, and rather than the people receiving it having to again recreate it and really create it from scratch just by, you know, going through endless contracts and reviewing media. Hopefully we're going to create a more valuable product at the end.
Our overall goal is to get people doing what they're supposed to be doing and not worrying about having to log into a system or having to type something in or type something incorrectly and then go back the third or fourth time and hope a logger that's, you know, way at the end of production is putting in the correct information that may have been missed. You know, at the end of the day, we want people to get out of the business of doing IT. Mm-hmm. Forget about running systems. Forget about, you know, having to recognize people that you know, whatever that portion is. Let the systems do that on their behalf. Do the job that you're there to do, and then free you up to do the stuff that actually drives even additional value.
A couple of things we haven't. So right now we're talking from the perspective of, you know, how do we actually sort of manage the problems and how do we make it a little bit easier. And, you know, just adding one color, another studio that I do work with, they actually have about 50-member team just coordinating residual audits. And then, of course, they plug into the actual lawyers and original producers and whomever to find the data. And you can imagine how expensive that has to be. So if we can help even a part of that, that's a big deal. But the other aspect, and we haven't really dabbled into this yet because we're still trying to solve the very basics, but is using the same data for new things. And one example we have been thinking about, and I think this is originally Lulu's idea, is can we use that metadata into making better edits or cuts? So when you release the movie for the 30th time and, you know, it's going to, I don't know, Indonesian market, and you know certain actors have certain thresholds in their residuals contracts, or maybe certain product placements don't matter quite as much there, like can we change the cut in very small ways, not actually destroying the creative, but in order to exceed or go under certain thresholds to make it a little bit nicer for the studio. And I'm sure there's a lot of other things, like when we move away from just the movies and when we think of a TV show, we're working with another studio that's actually thinking of how do we tag our back catalog so that it's very accessible for our stations and channels to go and find a specific episode with a specific theme, with a specific actor or character in a specific mood to actually, you know, go and you know, build ads for that station's back catalog. So there's a lot of different things that should be coming out of this, and I don't think we're even realizing half of them yet.
Well, we have a couple minutes, of course, and you know that if you've got a question, just raise your hand. We'll get a microphone to you. So what's next?
What's next?
Drinks at 6. Oh, sorry.
Obviously, we'd love to kind of continue MarkLogic. You know, we work across all the studios and all the industries, but this is really kind of with our work with the suitcase and now with New Regency, we really feel that this solves a tremendous problem for television and film production. So we want to be able to implement more data hubs and work on more projects and add even more complex systems and data to the mix.
And from Avanade's perspective, we're actually trying to build, I wouldn't call it quite a product, but like a solution accelerator based on this, and we have the basic framework for that in place. So if you're interested in looking into this area, you know, we're definitely more than happy to engage in a conversation, talk a little bit more about where we are, see what's your actual problems, or if they match with the problems we talked about, or if you have some other set of problems around metadata, and, you know, whether it's automatically creating it, curating it, managing it, integrating it, or just using it for reporting, definitely happy to have that conversation.
And trying to make a single system that is accessible to more filmmakers and provides them access to the many tools, because that's one of the nightmares, in addition to information being in so many silos, managing it all on a production level is extremely difficult and taxing, and that's why many productions don't do it well. So I'm hoping to come up with a way to unify it and make it a one-stop shop for many tools, maybe.
And our overall goal is to continue to improve the product, That we create, the tools that you guys will use to create this metadata, the delivery mechanisms, the visualizations, in order to make it the most value for you, for the users themselves. You know, using this metadata to create personalizations, as people have heard me talk about driverless cars and thinking about how, you know, data and video needs to be delivered during your drive, and understanding how that metadata can drive that personalization as you're taking that 3-minute trip down to the grocery store in your driverless Tesla or whatever it is. You know, using that to you know, really provide value to the end consumer, but equally, you know, give the productions an understanding of what their costs are going to be as they create an edit of a film. Is edit A going to cost more than edit B, than edit C, depending on which actors are in the cut?
Although I don't think any filmmaker is going to make a cut decision based on
that. Not in this town, baby.
And conversely, there's also the audit portion of that as well, but that's...
Well, you know, the other thing I was going to say on the Lulu side is Lulu's the treasurer of CDSA, the Content Delivery and Security Association. There's also a big security impact around all this and this idea of things flying around and email.
I mean,
and
in fact,
that
was the instigator of the project, was to be able to collect the PII necessary for all our employees and all our vendors and share it as necessary. You know, each person has a reason they need information, whether it's the residuals department, whether it's the travel coordinator, the paymaster, the payroll company, employer of record. No one actually needs the entire set of PII. And so how can we better manage that information, better capture it, and share it in a permissioned fashion rather than sending PDFs via email, which, I mean, that is the industry standard, is to send deal memos as PDFs via email.
Well,
and we've got to put a stop to it.
Well, you talk about safe harbor, right? GDPR is like a whole nother level. So this obviously, you know, this speaks back to the other session I did on global workflows around that.
Right.
You know, that I think is also a big onus and impetus for this type of project to keep moving forward. It used to be the shiny dangly, like, oh, well, I'll have all my metadata on my actors and then I can sell it through a second screen experience. I think we've moved beyond that. It's becoming very practical and real, and just super excited to have you guys up here and chat about this quickly, and obviously they'll be around if y'all have any questions later. So give a round. Thank you so much. Great panel.